The takeaway really was that we're opening a kind of a third modality for the adjuvant therapy of breast cancer. And up until now, the modalities have been chemotherapy and hormonal therapy. And now we have a new modality. I'm not quite sure exactly what to call it, but basically it's, you know, something that's affecting other growth factor pathways. So that I think that what's really exciting is it shows that this new pathway will be a useful pathway in the adjuvant therapy of breast cancer. Of course, we've been using it for the last decade now for the treatment of metastatic disease.
How do you think this is going to factor in terms of sort of the numbers? Your model has provided a lot of important statistics to people trying to evaluate benefits of adjuvant therapy. I'm sure you're giving a lot of thought to how you're now going to include trastuzumab.
There really are three questions that need to be addressed to incorporate this data. The first is what the real efficacy numbers are. And what we've seen is in the combined analysis of the American data, or North American data, the results as projected for 3 years of follow-up. Actually, the median follow-up of these trials is only 2 years. What was seen was a proportional risk reduction of 53% for relapse and about 33% for death for those patients who received Herceptin. I think that those numbers are still probably unstable in terms of the fact that they represent the impact on the very earliest relapses and how that will actually look with a little bit more maturity in the data, say out to 5 years, is going to be very, very important. The second question is on how to use this information is that it potentially will impact thinking about how to use a model not only for the HER2-positive patients, but for the HER2-negative patients. Because if all of a sudden everyone who is HER2-positive goes off on a certain track, that leaves the other patients. I think that that will not actually have a major impact on the model. The estimates in the HER2-negative population will be modestly better risk than the population if it had included the HER2-positive patients. I think that there's a lot of debate as to whether or not the HER2-positive patients actually respond better to chemotherapy than HER2-negative patients. And of course, if they do, then removing those patients from the pool of patients also might remove patients that would be contributing to the apparent proportional risk reduction. That is really not well established at this time, but it's certainly something to keep in mind. Another aspect of thinking about modeling how people will do is also the toxicity aspect of the therapy, and that is how safe the therapy is over a long period. And we have really 3 years of data at this point, but we don't really have data beyond that. So whether or not there's any, say, late cardiac toxicity from the therapy is something that's not been thoroughly addressed. The initial part of that data actually looks hopeful that most of the toxicity occurs during the therapy and there isn't a large amount afterwards, but we really can't say that with any certainty at this point.